Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now, here's Pastor Michael's teaching in Matthew 22, 41 through 46, called My Lord and My God.
Good morning. Good to see you all. We're going to open up to Matthew 22. My Lord and my God is the title, Matthew 22. We're going to finish the chapter today. And once you have it, we're going to pick it up in verse 41. So why don't you, if you're able, stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. My Lord and my God, Matthew 22, 41. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. If David calls him Lord, how is he his son? No one was able to answer him a word. Nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question. Amen. You can have a seat. Oh, Lord, what a wonderful time we've had in worship and music. So many reminders of your glory and your goodness and who you are and how you've come to make us free. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that freedom is all about life. It's all about what it means to be a human, all about what it means to be in communion with our Maker, all about what it means to know that you so loved us, you gave your Son. And today we're going to explore who that Son is. And each time I teach about the nature of God and who you are, Lord, I feel like I'm on holy ground. And I want to do a good job in putting this together, Lord, and connecting it to the verses that you quoted. And I think each one that's here deeply desires to know you in deeper ways. And some are new to the faith, and I pray that their eyes would be open to who you are. And if we've been Christians for a long time, this would confirm and affirm what we know to be true of you. Our Lord and our God, our King, our Savior, our High Priest, so many offices that you hold, Lord, and all of them impact us in beautiful, wonderful ways. So I just pray that our hearts would be receptive now, our ears would be open, you would lead us by your Holy Spirit, you'd be glorified in the teaching and the response to your holy word, I pray. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Well, you may remember that on the Sunday evening of the resurrection, Jesus had appeared to the disciples and Thomas was not present. And so I began to think about Thomas's famous words in John 20. Why don't you flip over to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the fourth gospel of our New Testament. And Thomas famously called Doubting Thomas, and many of us can relate. He was what we'd call an empiricist. He wanted to see physical evidence. He wanted to touch and see and examine. And so in John 20, the record of the appearance to Thomas occurs. It says in John 20, look at verse 25. The other disciples were saying to him, we've seen the Lord, to Thomas. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side where the sword had pierced his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, stood in their midst, and said, Shalom, or peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, okay, Thomas, heard what you said. Here you go. He said, reach here with your finger, 27, and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, here's our title, my Lord and my God. Now, the implications of this statement of worship is great. Some people have tried to wiggle out of it by saying that Thomas had a valley boy moment. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God. But that's not what was going on. In fact, the Jews would very much be reluctant to speak the name of God because they saw it as so holy. And they would often refer to God as Hashem, or the name. They were very hesitant to speak the name. For Thomas to say this, a first century Jew, was an expression of great worship. He called Jesus my Lord and my God. And I would say at the outset of this message, that's what the question I have for you. Is he your Lord? Is he your God? Because you can have information about Jesus. You can have perhaps good theology, but you want to know the one who rose from the dead, and of course, the one who saved us through the cross and the resurrection. Back to Matthew 22. James Montgomery Boyce, an awesome commentator of the Bible and has since gone home to be with the Lord, said, most people's image of Jesus is at best in a manger. It is a sentimental picture best reserved for Christmas and other sentimental moments. Others picture Jesus hanging on the cross. That too is sentimental, though its sentimentality is of a different sort. Jesus is not in a manger today. That is past. Nor is he hanging on a cross. That too is past. Jesus came once to die, and after that to ascend to heaven, to share in the fullness of God's power and great glory. And over again, some 37 times in the New Testament, if you're taking notes, the writers of the New Testament quote or allude to Psalm 110, which Jesus quoted in this passage. And that passage says that God the Son, or the Messiah, is now at the right hand, the position of power and authority and blessing of God Almighty. And he is there in a place of honor, waiting until all his enemies are placed under his feet. He is ruling and reigning today. He is interceding for us. He ever lives to intercede for us. That is a beautiful thing. And in fact, when we pray, we go to the throne of grace where the resurrected Christ is, that he might dispense grace to his people in time of need. Amen? That's the current ministry of Jesus. In Luke 1, 30 through 33, and I'm going to have a lot of scripture for you today. We'll do our best to put a lot of them on the screen. I want you to see what the angel Gabriel said to Mary. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Luke 1, 30 through 33, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Now notice, he is going to be named Jesus, but he will be God's Son, the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. I want you to see the deity and humanity in one passage. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. When John continues to write in John 20, he gives a purpose statement after that glorious word of praise from Thomas. He says, these things have been written. He gives a blessing first. Blessed are those... Who do not see and yet believe. And then he says, these things have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have what? Life in his name. What's at stake here is whether or not you have life. The Bible says if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have that life. So this is a very important sermon for us today. And as I mentioned in the prayer, I do feel like I'm on holy ground. I want to say one other thing about the reign of Jesus and his ministry. Psalm 2 says all the nations are his inheritance. So it's not just that he'll reign over Jacob forever. In fact, all the ends of the earth belong to him. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, the Religious leadership has been asking Jesus some questions. They were inspecting the lamb. It was Passover week, and he was the lamb inspected. And they had asked him a question in Matthew 21, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Then they asked him a question about taxes, and we were all listening really closely, if we have to pay taxes. And then the Sadducees came up and asked a question about the resurrection and the afterlife, and he answered that. And then he was asked by a lawyer, what's the great commandment? What's the most important thing in the law? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Last week we studied that together and we added the additional layer that Jesus said, you should love one another as I have loved you. If you look back on this week, I want to ask you how often you thought about loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Even if you maybe got a percentage of the way better, you're going to take your eyes off of yourself more and put them on God and others, which is the whole key to the Christian life.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Thank you for tuning in to Walk in Truth in San Diego over the past year. We are so grateful for your support and that of a faithful donor, which allowed us to bring Pastor Michael's Bible teaching to K-Praise this past year. But now, as we look ahead, we need your help to continue this mission for another year. We're aiming to raise $19,999 to keep Walk in Truth on K-Praise, and your support can make all the difference. Whether it's a personal gift or through your business, every contribution counts. Monthly partnerships are especially impactful. It means that you're standing with us as we share God's word. Would you consider giving a one-time donation of at least $30 or becoming a monthly partner at the same amount? You can donate easily by calling 844-48-TRUTH or visiting walkintruth.com. Together, we can continue bringing the truth of God's word to the airwaves. Thank you for being part of this mission. 844-48-TRUTH to donate. That's 844-48-TRUTH or visit walkintruth.com.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
Last week, we studied that together, and we added the additional layer that Jesus said, you should love one another as I have loved you. If you look back on this week, I want to ask you how often you thought about loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Even if you maybe got a percentage of the way better, you're going to take your eyes off of yourself more and put them on God and others, which is the whole key to the Christian life. And so Jesus is now got a question of his own. They threw their fastball and their curveball and their knuckleball and their off-speed pitch, and he hit everyone out of the park, and they were still gathered together, scratching their heads, searching their brains, maybe to ask him another zinger. Do we have anything left? Any more bullets in the gun? And Jesus had a question of his own. While the Pharisees, 22:41 of Matthew, were gathered together, so they're still around, Jesus asked them a question. Now it's question time from him to them. He said, what do you think about the Christ? That word Christ is Christos in Greek. That's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Messiah or Mashiach. If you're interested, if you look up the word Messiah, you will only find it in Daniel 9:25-26, the only direct reference to the Messiah in an incredible prophetic passage, which we won't get into now. But there's other passages that point to the Messiah, the Lord, the King, in other indirect ways. And so Jesus asked them about what they think about the Christ. Jesus is his name. You shall name him Jesus. It means Yahweh saves. Christ is his title. You could say Jesus the Messiah. Christ is not Jesus' last name. But I hear a whole lot of people saying Jesus Christ these days in not so worshipful ways. On movies, television, everywhere, taking the name of the glorious, majestic Christ in vain. And Jesus said, this is a sobering text, We will give an account for every careless word we've spoken on the day of judgment. How about all those Jesus Christ spoken in disgust? That's his holy name. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And that word Christ or Messiah, Mashiach, means the anointed one. And in the Old Testament, they would anoint kings to set them apart and priests. And even David, remember, Samuel came and anointed David when he was a young teenager as the future king of Israel. It spoke of the one set apart unto God. And the oil speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit to execute the office to which one is called. So Jesus asked them now what they think about the Christ. Let me give you a practical application. If you're out in business, in your neighborhood, with friends, family, sports, wherever you may be, school, this is a good way to share with people. Ask them, because this is the fundamental question of all questions. Who is God and how do you get saved? Amen? We can talk about a lot of things. We can talk about a lot of topics of theology or otherwise. But two of the most important things, who is God and how do you get right with him? Amen? How do you get saved? So that's what you need to think about. So, for example, sometimes I'm on the golf course and I'll open up a conversation with somebody and I might say, hey, do you attend a local church? And I can usually tell by their golf game and the language after they hit the ball whether they attend a local church. I remember one time we were playing golf and we were waiting in between holes and there was this bench there. And we had played about four or five holes and these guys were not good golfers and they had cursed enough to where I felt like I needed a second baptism, if you know what I'm saying. So we began to talk and they said, hey, what do you do for a living? Now, remember, a lot of stuff has gone on in about four or five holes. And I said, well, I'm a pastor. And they went, what? And I said, you may kiss my ring and I'll throw holy water on you right now. It burns! Sorry. Anyway. And funny enough, they told me that they were attending a local congregation. And I know we ooh and ah, but the truth is that a lot of people who say they belong to Christ are not, it's not always as clear as we'd hope. Amen? And let's be real. We all can struggle from time to time. They were doing a whole lot of struggling that day, but in my conversation, when I'm talking to someone, I'll usually, like, if they're from another religion or whatever, I'll bring it down to this. What do you think about Jesus? Who do you think he is? Now, that's a question that Jesus asked. In Matthew 16, he said, who do people say that I am? And then he said to the apostles, who do you say that I am? And Peter gave that blessed profession. You are the Christ. Listen to the words, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, and you are God's Son. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who's in heaven. At least twice, the Father said at his baptism, at the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So the identity of Jesus Christ is at the heart of this. And Jesus has asked a question, and it's a question I think a lot of people have, because a lot of people have heard stuff about Jesus. They might have partial truth about Jesus, maybe incomplete. There are some movements out there that say that Jesus is an angel, the first and greatest creation of God. Some movements out there that say God does not have a son and deny his sonship. And so we have to wrestle a little bit with the identity of Jesus. And for some of you, you may have been in the church a long time, and others of you, this may be brand new to you, or you're somewhere in between. And whenever we start talking about God's nature or the Trinity or that Jesus is God and man, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God, these are confusing things. I hope you had at least a shot of espresso before you came into this service, because you're going to need it, because we're going to be looking at some deep stuff. But I think we'll be able to do this together and explore something that scholars have called the hypostatic union. How do you like that? That's a 50-cent term. Theologians sit around and try to think of 50-cent terms to make us sound smart. The hypostatic union means that in one person, Jesus, You have 100% divinity, 100% God, and 100% man. That is the dual nature of Christ, often called the hypostatic union. In the one person exists both deity and humanity in their fullness.
You've been listening to My Lord and My God, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Matthew 22, 41 through 46. Hey, I wanted to share a great resource with you. Check out the Walk in Truth podcast with Michael Lanz. He teaches straight through the Bible and applies it to today's issues and culture. It's really insightful and encouraging. You'll find Walk in Truth on your podcast app. If you're already listening to the podcast, please click the share button on your phone to spread the word. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, you can see in this exchange with the Sadducees and their attempt to debunk the resurrection, Jesus turns the tables on them, even appealing to authority in the first five books that they would have acknowledged as truth. What he said is that you don't understand the scriptures and you don't understand the power of God. And you might say, well, that's me. I don't feel like I understand the Bible very well. And I'm not sure that I really experience the power of God. Okay, if that's where you're at, then that's where you're at. But here's what I would say. You can experience both. The scriptures have power. The reason that they have power is because scripture is breathed by God. It's endued, if you will, with his power. You don't know the scriptures or the power of God. The power of God is manifested or spoken to us through the word of God, but it, of course, it is manifested in God's fingerprints everywhere. God's power is on display in creation. God's power is in display in his keeping of the creation, holding it all together. God's power is on display in the intricacies of life and, what is it, 20 million forms of plants and animals, DNA, the universe. You know, you can think about the studies of astronomy and so forth. And just the human body is amazing, not to mention all other animal life. You can think about the power that Christ had even to overcome his own death through the resurrection. Provable, as the most provable event of antiquity, it's been argued. And so this is where when we look around, we step back, look at the power of the ocean, the power, watch a bird in flight, watch the sunset, and you begin to get a taste of this power of God. And you might say, well, I want to appreciate that more. I want to know more of that. Well, the power comes from God. He's the source of power. Christ is our power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you become a new creation in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you can get filled with that power every day as you're filled with the Spirit. You say, well, how do I do that, Pastor Michael? I'm a Christian. I want to know more of that power. You drink in the things that are filled with God's power, like worship, the Bible, prayer. Even when you're stepping out in service, you'll experience power. These are the ways that fresh, let's call it fresh doses of power, come into your life. When you crucify the flesh and you walk in the Spirit, that's the key to the whole thing. This is Pastor Michael Lanz. Hey, I want to remind you, we have a cool new app. It's the Walk in Truth app. It's available on your app store. Download it for free. You can catch up with previous messages and different books of the Bible. You can keep up with us as a ministry. You can share messages. It's the Walk in Truth app. It's a pillar, light blue color, and it's available for free right now as a download, and it'll give you much more access to the things that we're doing in the ministry. The Walk in Truth app, download it today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations. Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. And join us tomorrow for part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in Matthew 22 called My Lord and My God.
Even the Syrophoenician woman, when Jesus goes over to the regions of Tyre and Sidon, she's that Canaanite woman. She even calls him Son of David and talks to him about her daughter. And then Jesus graciously heals her daughter of demon possession by his mighty power. So you can see, even in Matthew's gospel, this is everywhere. People were asking, could he be the Messiah? They said, well, yeah. The Christ is the Son of David. What they didn't realize, or they wouldn't accept, was that the Christ was standing right in front of them.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.